Welcome to part 5 of the Shimmer series. Alright, so the game has changed. There have been 4 major paradigm shifts that have transformed human history. The first one was the invention of language. The second one came with the invention of writing. The third one came with the invention of the printing press. And the fourth arrived with the creation of the internet. Each paradigm shift heralds a new age. Paradigm shifts means that the old way dies into the new, in the same way that a cactus will rot onto itself and then through it the next generation of cactus is born. Paradigm shifts are like that. The printing press killed God, or at least the power monopoly that the church had in Western cultures using monotheistic ideas. The printing press birthed the scientific method, which birthed many great life-improving inventions and discoveries, but it also gave birth to the atomic bomb. In a way, the printing press was a portal out of which eventually emerged the atomic bomb. Paradigm shifts normally take a few hundred years for their full effects to be felt. It took 505 years for the atom bomb to finally emerge from the portal that was the printing press. Our paradigm shift is moving faster. We are the first generation of humans to live through a paradigm shift as it is happening. We are the first generation that knows that we are in one as it is happening. Our paradigm shift started in 1983. It's been less than 50 years, and we're already beginning to contend with the emergence of the shimmer and the crawlers that are growing out of it. So 2 things are true at the same time during our time. Number 1, we are the most mentally ill that we have ever been, and the shimmer is a major contributor to this. 2, the democratization for a focused artist to learn any skill, to find any peer or master, and to create a life of wealth and fulfillment has never been more acceptable in recorded history. Both of those things are true at the same time. So the game of our generation is to learn how to navigate the shimmer as a focused artist. To do so means freedom, community, wealth, and artistic fulfillment. To not do so means more mindlessness, more rumination, more multitasking, and more dukkha. But there's good news. We've got games. And in this podcast, I'm going to introduce the 5 games that have most helped me begin to train my monkey mind. All right, game number 1, Dharma Sprints. So what is a Dharma Sprint? A Dharma Sprint is a kind of game. The rules are simple. 1, decide the single task that you intend to do. It can be anything. 2, decide the duration that you will give to do this task. Science finds that about 90 minutes is the ideal amount of time to try to deeply focus on one thing. 3, during the designated time, you either do the one task or you meditate. Dharma sprints will help heal your attentional blindness injury that the shimmer causes. Dharma sprints will help you wake up to the shimmer. Dharma sprints can be a single-player game or a multiplayer game. Dharma sprints can be analog or digital. And when a Dharma sprint is digital, it means that you're in the shimmer. Single-player mode. I aim to do 5 Dharma sprints a day. But don't worry, this is a stretch goal, and sometimes I hit it and sometimes I don't. My first Dharma sprint every day is analog. It is to ice bath and to meditate. My second is digital. It is to work on whatever is the highest leverage project in my life currently. My third is also digital. It is to work on whatever is the most important project this week. My fourth is analog, and it is to work out. And my fifth is some combination of digital and analog, and it is to do whatever tasks need to be done today for me to basically take care of my life and my meat suit. So this is like chores, paying the bills, answering emails, etc. On great days, I do a sixth, and it is an analog where I am radically present with my partner without any screens trying to steal our attention. So here is a digital Dharma Sprint example. A digital Dharma Sprint might be the single most important practice for you to cultivate. Digital Dharma Sprints teach you how to use the shimmer intentionally. Anyone who spends their next 100 hours in the shimmer with a steady, dedicated intentionality will be able to build the future of their dreams. So how do I do it? My first bookmark on my internet browser, I click on it and I've designed a page for myself where it's all black and it just has two words, intention, colon, and then duration, colon. And the intention is, what is the one thing that I'm about to do? And then the duration is the amount of time that I'm going to spend doing that one thing. So I answer both of those questions. And once I do, I then start a timer. I tend to do 90 minutes. And then for the next 90 minutes, I am working on whatever that one thing is that I wrote down as my intention. I've got a couple of pictures on my website if you want to go look at this more deeply, but it's quite simple. It's elegant. It's hard because you will very likely notice that even if you set the intention, you're going to be clicking on other things unless you have trained yourself not to. But this is where it can get really fun, is when you start to do multiplayer Dharma Sprints. So I've introduced this game of Dharma Sprints to my friends, and most of them have fallen in love with it right away. I've shared it with my students, and it has triggered the most out-of-class connection and engagement that I've seen in 6 years of teaching online. I do it with my fiance at least once a week. Every other weekend, a group of my friends will come over and we'll do three or four together on a Saturday or a Sunday. When I first introduced Dharma Sprints on a webinar, over 100 people in the chat created a Telegram group, left the chat, and then just started doing Dharma Sprints with each other. The recurring feedback is that people sharing how surprisingly easy it is to focus when they do sprints with other people. So how do you do it? Step one. Each person shares what they intend to work on during the sprint. Two, the group agrees on a duration. 90 minutes is what I recommend. And then three, each person does only that one thing for the amount of time. So there's no talking, there's no multitasking, there's no task switching. Step four, and when the time is up, everyone takes a break, maybe for 20 minutes. You can either go on a walk or you can just go outside and start to do some movement and just talk about what you accomplished, what you learned, and how it was for you. The thing that's incredible is this works digitally too. Students in my class will let each other know when they are available to do sprints together. And then they will get on Zoom calls or Google Meets or whatever platform you would prefer. And the feedback is, again and again, that they are all surprised at, one, how easy it is to focus, to get into deep focus when there's just someone else present, even if you guys aren't talking to each other. But also that they didn't believe that they could have this level of connectivity with somebody else online, purely. So try it for yourself. Explain this game to a friend and do a sprint. I've been so inspired by my students that I'm in the process of creating a community for this type of practice, but you can do it on your own for free today. Dharma sprints help heal attentional fusion blindness. So attentional fusion blindness is thinking without knowing that you're thinking. And you're probably doing it right now, and that's okay. Me too, most of the time. During meditation, this is the intention to focus on your breath, but then you find yourself starting to fall into some thought process where you have forgotten that you were meditating. The intention to train your attention on your breath serves as the anchor point that helps you notice when your attention gets fused with a wandering thought. Dharma sprints do the same thing as meditation. Instead of the breath being the object of focus, The object of focus is whatever is the current most important task for you to work on to cultivate your life into the dream that you want it to be. The stated intention becomes the anchor that helps you remember. During your most distracted Dharma sprints, you're training your metacognition because each time that you notice that, oh, wow, I'm on Instagram, but my intention was to write this email, then you come back to the email. You're actually cultivating metacognitive awareness when you do that. During your best Dharma sprints, the ones where you're not distracted, you're just going to get into flow, working on the most important thing that you can be working on. It is a win-win game. It is a game that you can't lose if you stick to playing it. So try a Dharma sprint out today and share your experience in the comments or send me emails and just let me know. So why are they called Dharma sprints? When we first start trying to wake up in the shimmer, we don't need to learn about things like dharmas or daemons. We just need instructions to help us cease the feeling of drowning. Dharma sprints will do that, specifically cultivating the habit of using the shimmer with intention and doing it with friends will deliver you 80% of the benefits that this practice has to offer. However, once you've learned to focus your attention enough where you're Dharma sprinting every day, you will begin to take the time to get to know yourself a little bit more. Each of us has what Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita calls a Dharma. Our Dharma is our sacred work to perform in this lifetime. In Western culture, we call Dharma a calling. A calling is the felt sense that there is something for you to do with your one precious life that is yours, uniquely yours, to give to the world. Because it is uniquely yours, if you do not give it to the world will never experience it. Bach's Dharma was to change the soundscape of music forever. Buddha's Dharma was to help humans wake up. Someone's Dharma might be to start a new kind of preschool in their neighborhood. Another's may be to obsess over water quality for 40 years, which eventually leads to a new type of sanitation invention. My Dharma is to doula Dharmas. Once you start connecting to your Dharma, you will start to receive, quote, quests. These are the death cookies that we've talked about. These quests then become the actions that you do during your sprints. If you commit to doing the single most important task that your inner whisper calls to you to do each day, and you pair it with a Dharma sprint, and then you triple it with a Dharma sprint with a friend, and you do this every day, you are going to find yourself making rapid progress towards your dream life while inspiring the people around you. And you can thank me later. Jokes aside, learning how to use Dharma sprints as a game to interact with the shimmer has the potential to radically change your life, especially if you have never taken the time to try to heal your attentional system. All right, so I mentioned death cookies. Let's explain what that is a little bit more for people who don't know. So first, a quote by Marie-Louise von Franz. Quote, somewhere, right at the bottom of one's own being, one generally does know where one should go and what one should do, end quote. Phil Stutz is a genius. He is a magician with many spells, and his grimoire is a stack of note cards. His spell that we'll be talking about today is called Death Cookies. Death Cookies are a frame that Stutz gives all of his clients, and it goes something roughly like this. We all know what it feels like to know what we ought to do next, but we don't do it either because we're afraid or because we're choosing to be lazy. Period. You know what you need to say to that person that you haven't said. You know that you need to go get your blood work done. You know that the affair that you're having needs to end and that you need to tell the truth. you know that that addiction that you're hiding needs your attention and your confession. These are death cookies. But so is the following. You need to face your taxes and do them. You need to face the fact that you have credit card debt and address it. Or you need to lose weight, and not to be vain, but for your health. Or you know that it's time to go to the dentist. These are death cookies too. But so are these. You know that you're a writer, that there is a book inside of you, and that no amount of success as a marketer or an entrepreneur is going to cover up that ache in the middle of your chest. Or you know that you're called to help animals or to somehow improve ecological biospheres, and that no amount of fame or followers or sex is going to satiate you until you start getting your hands in the dirt again. The key here is the quality of the knowing. Stutz believes, as do I, that you have a soul, and your soul wants you to become who you could be. But you also have a voice in you that Stutz calls Part X, and Part X is trying to keep you from becoming who you could be. Now, whatever the reason may be, soul doctors from all ages have observed these two primary forces inside of us. Death cookies are the quests that the soul offers the ego to grow. When we get the call, but we refuse the call, this is where the death part of death cookies starts to activate. Stutz frames it this way. Speed is a force. The longer that you go between receiving the whisper from your soul to do a thing and actually doing the motherfucking thing, that period between the intuition to do and the actual action, that period erodes your life force. You lose life force because you lose slowly each day your self-trust and your self-respect. But the good news is the cookie part of death cookie is twofold. One, as soon as you do the motherfucking thing that you've been avoiding, you will absorb back all of the energy that you lost from avoiding doing it. Number two, you will get a little bit extra life force because you finally did something that you thought that you couldn't do. And I want to really just take a moment to connect to the profundity of what Phil Stutz is talking about here. Every time we get a whisper to do a thing and we don't do the thing, we slowly start to trickle out self-love and self-respect. And he's saying is that the moment that you finally do the thing, not only do you recapture all of the atrophied life force that bled out of you from being a coward or just simply being lazy, you then get more life force that wasn't in you before because you have extended what you thought you were capable of doing. You've grown. Death cookies are the fundamental nutrients for the development of our individuation process. So here are some examples. Before I understood death cookies, something happened on the day that I normally edited my podcast. This is in 2014. And back then, I was doing all the editing myself. Thank God I got Graham now. And for some reason, I just didn't edit the day that I was supposed to. And before missing that day of editing, I had recorded and released a podcast every week for a little bit over 2 months. But somehow, I ended up going 3 weeks without releasing a podcast after I had skipped that day. And throughout those weeks, I became progressively more and more blocked artistically in every other area of my life. I couldn't write. I was having a hard time focusing at work, and I found myself slipping into worse eating habits, and my sleep hygiene started to get disrupted. Hindsight's funny, but I don't remember having noticed that the skipping of the podcast was the catalyst for all these other things happening. But one day, without any particular motivation, I just finally decided to edit the fucking podcast. And I remember enjoying the editing process. And it took me maybe 100 minutes to complete the entire thing. But the reason that I remember this from almost 10 years ago is that once I had completed editing the podcast, when I had finally sat down and did it, and it only took me like less than 2 hours, I remember that for the next like week or two, I had a torrent of creative insights come through my writing, the way that I was interacting with my friends, the ideas that I was having about projects to do. And it is etched in my memory. It's what happens when you let a death cookie just sit around you for weeks or months, and then you finally eat it. When you finally eat the death cookie, you get back all the life force that you lost, plus more. So, what is a Dharma Sprint death cookie? A Dharma Sprint death cookie is when you make the task of the sprint to eat the death cookie that is in your life right now. It is essentially saying, I'm going to do the thing that I most don't want to do, that I know is the best for me, and that's what I'm going to focus on for the next hour and a half. A death cookie a day keeps soul sickness away. And you can trust the dreamer. At the bottom of our being, we know who we are and what we're here to do. And so maybe you just start with death crumbs. And maybe that's something that takes less than 5 or 10 minutes to do. Could be doing the dishes or taking out the trash. This can be a death crumb. But maybe you want to eat a whole cookie today. And so maybe what that means is finally tell your father the truth. Or maybe what that means is finally admitting to your partner that you cheated 3 years ago. Maybe you're ready to face an entire death cake. Like finally admitting to yourself that you need to get that lump in your chest checked for cancer. Or finally accepting that what happened to you when you were 5 was not your fault, but that it is your responsibility to face it, feel it, and move it. The majesty at the heart of the death cookie phenomena is this. There is something in us that is guiding us. And where it points, there will be resistance. But resistance, much to our surprise, is a compass that points the way. And when you do what you're afraid to do, something in you, beyond words, begins to grow and to blossom and to unfurl. You can trust the dreamer.